hi, Lydia Alcoholic. Thank you, Mark, for the surprise 10 minutes, so I didn't have to get too nervous, but still very nervous. I'm like, gosh, we're going through the readings fast today. I guess I'll start with, because I'm always like, 10s are hard to get to sobriety if I don't go fast enough. But my sobriety date is May 5th, 2016, so I have like 9.5 years now. And it's just, it was a long road to get there. I started trying to come, started getting into trouble and then going into treatment centers when I was about 18. I guess I've been thinking a lot about step one lately. I guess I'll go into the past for a second. But as a kid, I remember, just being restless, the restless, irritable, and discontent. You know, I had all the excuses of how my family dynamic was and the way we were raised and all this is the reason I'm this way, you know? And I held on to that for a long time was, if somebody like made sure I went to school or like helped me with my schoolwork, I would have done well and then I would have succeeded, you know, or paid for sports and then I would have been this great athlete. You know, it's like the POS that the world revolves around kind of thing. It's like I'm way down here, but if someone could have helped, I would have been, you know, doing life. And instead, I think I heard somebody share early on, you know, a very similar, like the exact same family dynamic I had with like one of five kids with the single mom and the dad's in prison and blah, 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 and having to take care of the little ones. And then he mentioned that all his siblings were normal. And for me, that clicked a light bulb where I was like, oh, all my siblings are pretty normal too. You know, it wasn't the family dynamic at all. It was me. I was uncomfortable from the beginning and I found a solution really early on in like elementary school with inhalants before I knew what I was doing. But I knew I liked it. I knew I liked to get out of my head and I knew I wanted to do it again. And that's all I knew. And I knew to sneak it too. And so that's like what I did as a kid. And then it just escalated, you know, whatever I can find. Where I'd like pick up cigarette butts on the side of the road and smoke them. And people be like, that's gross. And I'm like, it's free, you know? And I was just like, you know, I felt like my sisters were like cool party girls. And I was just like a mess, you know, I was like going too far all the time. So it was, you know, I didn't have a lot of the fun times. I was kind of a mess from the beginning, trying to like control my drinking and using to not be so sloppy and like to try to be cool. So drugs came into my story because from when I started drinking, I drank to like blackout, pee my pants in front of people. You know, when I started to consume it, I couldn't ever stop, especially with the alcohol was like, so I'd always go way overshoot the mark. And so then drugs started to come in where I felt like I was, you know, I could calm my head down a little bit, but I wouldn't be like so messy. And by the time I was 17, I was an IV heroin user and getting arrested for the first times and going to jail for the first time and finding myself in treatments. And back on the step one thing I was thinking about too, it was never... And I think it's true for other alcoholics too. It's like no matter how many people I hurt or the wreckage outside of me that I caused, that never was enough. You know, I would steal from everybody I could before I'd put myself in harm. So I ran through everybody I knew. I burned all my bridges. Then I'd start to put myself in, you know, it's like until I felt the pain of my actions, which unfortunately for me took a long time, it wasn't enough, you know, I could deal with it until it hurt me enough. So I hurt a lot of people and would try and I went to maybe like 10 treatment centers or so. Because I ran through everybody I knew and I was so young. So I was, you know, living an illegal kind of life and then I'd want to leave there. I'd want to get out of there And so I'd take a chance to go to treatment. I'd be so excited, and I'd want to not be doing what I was doing and living how I was living. And so I'd get this gift. I'd be so happy to go to treatment. And then my head would be so loud, I'd do normally like relapse in there or just run from there into another state. And this happened, like I was talking to Freedom about, is from like, you know, from down Miami to like upstate New York to all along the East Coast. I'm from Virginia, so start in the middle and just would. And I would do that for a while, that same cycle, till this last time I had overdosed and I went to jail, because in Virginia you could still, that would happen at that time. And I sat in jail for a couple months there, and that was a like an important time that I was in jail, that time where I was like, I was so, couldn't stand myself, you know. It was like the drugs and the alcohol, everything was out of my system by that point, and my head was like just driving me crazy, and no matter what I was trying to do, I was trying to like read the Bible with the good girls and hang out with different people in there, and it wasn't working, you know. I just couldn't stand myself, and I knew I didn't want to, I knew if I picked up again, I was going to overdose again, and I did right when I came out, and I, you know, it was just the same thing. It was like I was at that turning point where, I knew if I was to, I knew I can't stop no matter what, even though I want to, and I know I was going to die if I continue to go, and I got one last chance for treatment, came out here to California, and I just was so tired. I had ran from so many places that I was like, and I was convinced I was going to pick up and do it again, and I was convinced that I was going to die if I did, so I decided to try everything they said, to die with a clean conscience, I thought, and that's one of the magic things about AA, is like, it worked against my heart didn't think it was going to work, my heart didn't expect it, nothing, I just wanted to know, like, I tried, I thought, and I got a sponsor in detox, who had like a year sober, and she had what I wanted, which was just, she was like blonde and pretty with a lot of friends, which I thought, oh, I'll be, you know, that's all I want. It's like, and not to have like one bag of clothes and be like, you know, track marked girl. And who was fighting guys for cigarettes, who stole, you know, crazy person. But she knew the book, and I couldn't read well at all. And she'd come and meet up with me, and she'd read to me, and she'd read to me. And I started to have an experience that I didn't expect at all. You know, I started to be able to sit in the rooms with people around the third step and calm down, and I could like be in my skin, and that was so new to me that it like inspired me to keep going. I was like, maybe they're not lying, you know. I thought everyone was lying. I thought, because we clean up and look different, like I don't look like my story anymore. And for some reason, that was like the craziest concept to me in the beginning. I thought, if you didn't like look like it, it's not true. Or and yeah, so I, oh, 2 minutes. I ran out of time. But anyway, so so I continued to make it through the steps, and I, you know, I met somebody, and we've been together the whole time, and that too is like wild. I have a 3.5-year-old son. I have another son on the way, and I, life is just, these are the outside things, but like God's will showing it. So I went to go meet up with the sponsee and do some work before this meeting, and just so happens, like, there's John and Christina and Tracy, and all these people show up at the same restaurant we're at, Matt, you know, because of God's timing. And it's like, you just say yes, and now we're going to eat with these people. And then Mark just asked to speak, so I just say yes. I just keep doing what God puts in front of me, and along that way of just surrendering, just being okay to not know, and just to keep showing up, God has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams where, you know, I feel at peace in my heart. I was just talking about this at the dinner, where I think if, you know, the worst thing could happen in my life, like, I think I'd stay sober. I would know that was God's path, and that I'm not going back to where that was because of what I found here, because what's offered here, if you follow the steps and clear all the stuff out and like really clear it out, give it a real good shot, it's like nothing else where, yeah, I'm just okay with whatever God has for me. If if that's an ugly version of this life, or it's my version, or whatever, it's not going to be my version. But, you know, I think I'd be okay. And that's probably the best gift besides the outside stuff I've received. And I think that's probably, I think probably 2 minutes, that's about. Thank you.